The Maury Sendak Fellowship is a residency program that supports artists who tell stories with illustration. The fellowship offers a four-week retreat for artists to live and work at Scotch Hill Farm in Cambridge, New York. The fellowship offers the opportunity for artists to deeply engage in a project in the relative isolation of a rural farm setting. At the same time, they receive inspiration from each other as well as from visiting artists and professionals in the field. Battenkill Books in Cambridge will be presenting an exciting panel discussion with the 2016 Sendak Fellows. Elisha Cooper is here. Elisha is the author of Train, Farm, Homer, and Eight, an Animal Alphabet, which I love, and many other books. And he joins us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you here. Jenny Desmond is a picture book maker from London, and her titles include The Blue Whale and Red Cat, Blue Cat, and The Zebra Who Ran Too Fast, and The First Slodge. What is a slodge?
A slodge is a made-up creature. The book was written by Jean Willis, so she made up the word slodge.
But you got
a little green slodgy creature.
But you got to illustrate the slodge.
I did.
And that's very cool. And Juji Morales is here, an author, artist, and puppet maker.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
All of the fellows, the Sendak Fellows, will be at Battenkill Books on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in a conversation that I am lucky enough to moderate, and it'll be very exciting going on, and we'll talk about a lot of the stuff that we'll be talking about this morning, but we'll go into more detail, and probably, unless there's children present, we can swear. Okay, so...
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. So it's very nice to have you with us. Congratulations. I'll sort of go around the room here, and Elisha, begin with you, of what it means and how you become a Sendak Fellow. Obviously, it's something you apply for.
I think we were just given this. It kind of came out of the blue.
You were plucked?
We were plucked like chickens. Yeah. I wish I knew how it happened. I think somebody nominated us, and then we got this great letter in December, and now we're here. Yeah, it was kind of just came from above.
So when you come, do you have an idea of what you want to accomplish? So for you personally, what in this time, in these 4 weeks, what do you want to accomplish?
I am working on a children's book about the river, or about kind of a trip down a river, and so I knew that I wanted to kind of come up and start drawing the Hudson. But mostly I've just been coming here I've just been reading books and hanging out with my fellows, and I feel a little guilty because it's just been this incredible experience of being at Maurice Sendak's farm, and it's so beautiful, and going to his studio and reading and eating good food and feeling taken care of, and I feel a little guilty because it's been so awesome.
Juji, how did you come to this?
Well, I knew that I was going to be here, so I kind of left a lot of the work I was doing. I was working in a book, and prior to coming here, weeks before, I engaged in other projects so that I would be able to concentrate in this book when I came here. And to tell you the truth, the first week, it was so much about just taking on like what was around, seeing this incredible place and looking at the landscape and feeling the changes of the weather, and walking through the grass and next to a little lake to go to my studio and go to work. And the first week was much about that. It was like gathering the energy and the inspiration and just like marveling about the things that were there. Now I'm working hard.
you get over it after a while.
Well, and then you have to. Yes. Books need to be done.
To push yourself.
Yes.
Well, you know, I live, without giving away your location or mine, I live very close to where you are. And it's obviously the same landscape. And it is, you have to kind of stop yourself from gawking at it. And I've been there, you know, 30 years. So it's hard to concentrate, but yet it also gives you energy as well.
Exactly. It gives you the time. It gives you also that state of mind and heart that helps you start creating.
Jenny Desmond, is home, is the UK home for you?
So the UK, London is home for me.
Okay, so this is a huge
So yeah, I've come from the metropolis of London in England to the isolation of the farm. It's actually, I've really enjoyed it. I think I live on the edge of a park in London, but I've always thought that maybe I would suit the countryside. But I really, I've loved being around the chickens and there's goats.
Yeah.
We helped milk some goats the other day and milked walked the goats.
What, were you left out of the milk?
I missed that.
Goat milking?
I grew up milking goats and I missed that because I was back in the city for a few days. But I need to go and milk the goats because now I'm really jealous.
Yeah.
Okay.
We squirted the milk into our coffees.
Oh, that's so very cool.
And there's some chicks that have just hatched outside the window. Of our library area. And so, yeah, just I've been going on runs and walks and cycles and just really enjoying the fresh air and the grass. And I don't know how I'm going to get back to living in city now, really.
Do you have a project that you're working on, that you're focused on?
Yeah, so back in London, I'm illustrating a text at the moment. But I actually decided to leave it in London because the deadline's not for a while. So I've come out just with my sketchbook because I wanted to try and find some new ideas for new stories and just have some time and space to really think up as many different ideas as I can. So I've been drawing all the creatures and sort of indulging my imagination and sort of trying to create lots of new concepts. And it's been going well. I've found a few exciting new things. And I'm also doing some research for a new book. So I've been researching lots of reading on that as well.
Wonderful. So there's a lot to do and a lot of cool things that you can, a lot of trouble you can get into. I don't know if I mentioned this in the introduction, but this is the Marie Sendak Fellowship, which I did mention, but the Scottsdale Farm was owned by Maurice Sendak and was his retreat. Yep. And now is a place for artists to come to live and work and to do this. So I'm interested in, again, going around the room and start with you, Elisha, of what you get from that and having spoken to some of the Sendak fellows in the past. Many have really close connections to Maurice Sendak, and others are a little more distant. But it's interesting to see how you kind of view his work and the legacy.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to meet him once. He was kind of this great, irascible character. And I think being in this space that he was in, you can not only is it giving us the, as I think it was said, like the time and space, but you sort of sense. I sense his history there, and there's this one studio there that has kind of, you know, some of his old books, and for me, I can kind of feel that, and so it feels like a very kind of sacred place in a way, and because I think he's, you know, loved by so many people, and it feels like, again, it gives us space, but also kind of you feel a bit of a responsibility to kind of think and dream, so it is kind of a very special, special place.
Gigi?
Well, Maurice Sendak's books were some of the first books that I saw when I came to the United States. My mother-in-law had them in her library, especially Where the Wild Things Are. And it was that kind of introduction to what children literature was here in this country when I came from Mexico in 1994. It was this opening up of a world. For me, his books were that. It was the first entrance to a world that will become my world eventually. So he's very significant to me. Now that I'm there along his books and his space and some of his energy, I feel like that. It's been marvelous to kind of rediscover who he is. I've read a lot about him. I have books that talk about him, and I always felt identified and marveled by reading his stories, like stories of his parents as immigrants. But now being there and also kind of looking very close at his work, one of the things that has inspired me now to do is to try to recreate the way he's been worked, which is very different to the way I paint, for instance.
What are the differences?
He used a lot of cross hatching, and he painted with ink, and I haven't done it like that. And one of the really great things that just happened last week was that Lynn, who is one of the people who is taking care of us, she came and because she saw that I was trying to recreate, and I'm very, very good at copying. That's one of my methods of learning, and I've been copying some of his images.
She did a perfect job. It was identical. It was amazing.
Yeah, and it was great doing it, but then Lynn saw me that I was so mesmerized doing these things that she came the other day and she brought me some of the pens and some of the stuffs that he used inside the ink bottle.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
She brought them to me, and I'm doing that. I'm like rediscovering how it feels like to draw in a way that recreates some of what Senda was doing, and that is marvelous.
And then, Jenny, I ask you that question as well, of how aware and of that legacy and have you become and were aware?
Sendak's always been a massive hero of mine. Obviously, I think his books are unbelievable, especially In the Night Kitchen. It was a book that I loved as a child. And growing up, then starting to become an illustrator, I would read a lot about Sendak, and also read his book that's called A Cotton Co. That talks about how to create work and how your work should be almost musical in its energy, and I find that element very inspiring. So I've been actually listening to lots of music and trying to draw to music and trying to get the energy of music into my work. And obviously being around all his things, we've got
toys,
his books. He used to love Henry James, so I've been reading one of his copies of Henry James. All his books line our bedrooms, and his pictures are everywhere, and it's incredibly inspiring and humbling place to be for us.
What kind of music do you work to? Because he was an opera guy, I believe. Yeah, right.
Yeah, classical music. He liked.
Yes.
I like every. I wouldn't even want to try and. Yeah, sometimes classical, sometimes jazz, sometimes pop, sometimes music that I'm too embarrassed to even tell you.
That's all right. You don't have to share with everything with us. hopefully we'll get it out of you on Thursday night at the Battenkill Bookstore. But until then, I understand. And when you have an opportunity like this, obviously it's the working together. You mentioned you got to see Juji's illustration that she was
which she was
working on. So there's a sharing that comes into it too.
Yeah, but I think what's neat about this fellowship is that, well, to be an artist or an illustrator or an author, you're really alone. And that's as it should be. You know, you kind of go off by yourself.
I was going to say, wasn't that part of the lore of the profession?
Yeah, exactly. It's that we're kind of lonely people. But what's cool is that we're putting together some lonely people. But you kind of get a sense that you see other people's lonely processes, and I can kind of see them, you know, huddled by themselves doing drawings or reading. And I just think there's something supportive about that, which is kind of nice. I've often said I don't know too many other illustrators, and I think that children's book illustrators or authors can be kind of a miserable, sad bunch of people. But and now I know that. No, but then now we come together, and you can kind of sense that we're kind of there's a camaraderie to that to us. So I've enjoyed that.
I mean, you say it humorously, but that is often the way that Marie Sendak himself has been described.
Yeah, there's kind of a curmudgeonly thing, and I think, you know, to do art, you have to kind of go in yourself, and you have to be affected by the countryside and different things, and be kind of open to things and let music affect you. And then sometimes you let humans affect you, but hopefully not too much.
Does that give given that your audience is primarily in this venue anyway, for children, does that allow you to really tap into that even more, because there is that natural aspect?
Well, Were you going to answer?
Like, she was thinking, but if you have an answer, then you can start, and then
go.
She'll...
So you mean like because of the natural of where we are at right now? I think that we need to be ready always to tap on that wherever we are at.
Okay.
And right now it's been even easier because we have, you know, like I feel like we don't have the real presence of Maurice there as any some of the other fellows had before. I never met him, and he is not here anymore. But I feel like he's still a teacher there in the way that he framed this fellowship in which we come to his place, and all that's around becomes a teaching tool for us. That's how I feel. He had a way of creating. He had a way of understanding his world of creation. And sometimes our world of creation might be very, very different. You know, we come from different places and we work in different manners. But being there, it kind of puts us in this place in which we have to create in a way that it was what he had set up for himself, which is this place of, like, yes, he was by himself most of the time. He was working there. He was in this open space. I've been very lucky that to have that house that he built for himself, and that's where I've been staying. And I feel like I get to see and feel how it might have been for him and what was his channel in which he will tap to be able to create. We also have areas in common, and that's why we are able to sometimes sit in the same room and see what the other is doing and read some books and share. And we also sometimes make dinner for each other and we get together. And at the same time, we have our own spaces in which we retreat and just go and do our own, because I feel that part of the nature of doing our work also has to do with finding some place of our own.
You've done this. You're a radio person. You did a radio show for kids.
Well, I did a little bit of like that. It was a very amateur thing. I used to hear this radio show in Spanish when I was living in San Francisco, and it was great because it was in Spanish and it had a lot to do with a Latino cultural living thing. And I realized that there wasn't anything for children, and I wasn't doing any children's book at the time, but what I was doing is I was in love with children's books. And I met the director of the show and once by casualty, and then I told him, you know, you don't have something for children. He said, we don't, but you want to do it. And that's what I started doing. I will come to the studio. I will bring some books that I found at the library, and I will read them. That's what I did. And that was kind of like also the entrance into really, really falling in love with the storytelling.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Is there anything... Jenny, is there anything, this is going to be an odd way that I'm going to phrase this, but is there anything expected of you as far as we want you to complete this or accomplish that by the end of the fellowship?
There's absolutely nothing expected of us in that way, which
is the best kind, isn't there?
Unbelievable, I know. Yeah. So there's a few things that we're doing. So we're going to be in the Bat and Kill books on Thursday.
Right.
And we're also doing some workshops with some children near the end of the fellowship. So there's a couple of those things, and we have to have a lunch together. It's not really any kind of... we don't even have to go if we don't want to. So they're giving us total control of...
You'll have lunch with these two, right?
I think we're happy to have lunch, aren't we?
Yes.
Probably work that out.
But yeah, we're just given complete control and freedom to do anything we want. And it's such a luxury, and actually very, very difficult to get a whole month to do anything that you want. I think your life normally gets in the way. And to be able to spend morning till night drawing and reading and completely indulging in your own work is, well, for me anyway, is not something I'm able to do in my normal life. So if you can completely commit yourself to that just for a few weeks and to see what comes out, I think it's a really extraordinary opportunity for us.
Are you taking day trips?
A little bit.
I've been taking a lot of day trips. But okay. just to kind of second, what Jenny's saying is I think that because there aren't these specific things that we have to do, it almost makes it me feel responsible to do some things, because we've been, and I think we all know this, we have been given a gift here, and it's incredibly lucky what we've been given. And so by not actually having to do anything, we are kind of internally forced to do something, I think, at least for me. And so, I mean, it's been, I've never felt more kind of taken care of or more kind of blessed, really, with something. But then I also, I feel like, oh, I better get to some work. Yeah. Even though, who's kidding? What I do is not work. I draw things and I, you know, tell bad jokes. So this is just... This is great.
Yeah, it's actually quite a lot of pressure. I find the pressure quite a lot that I'm putting on myself to, you know, create this really, really interesting body of work during this time. And, you know, when you could just be sunbathing, like it's not something, it's actually very difficult to really try and be original. And you're so inspired by Sendak and so amazed by the things that he did. You know, you're trying to sort of create something that lives up to the fellowship, I guess.
You have a new memoir out.
It's coming out in June, yes.
I just received a finished copy. It is on my desk.
Oh my goodness.
It is absolutely beautiful. But it's called Falling, A Daughter, A Father, and A Journey Back. And it's quite a story.
Yeah.
It's not obviously for children.
No.
It's a compelling story.
Well, and briefly, it's a story of my daughter and her having cancer and kind of getting through that, and there are essays. There's no art to it, but there is an essay in there. There are a couple of essays actually about where I kind of mention Maurice Sendak, because I met him kind of during this whole scare with my daughter and cancer, and you know, we got to talking, and he just was hilarious, and kind of he swore a lot, and he had a real sense of humor and kind of about life. And so one of the essays I talk about is like, how do you reconcile really humor and kind of worry or anxiety or fear that we have for the people we love? How do you do that? I don't know. I don't necessarily have an answer certainly for that, but he was even then kind of an example of some of how you kind of rage against life or try to laugh at it sometimes.
The Maurice Sendak Fellowship is an incredible residency program that supports artists like the three we have been talking to this morning. All three will join me for a discussion at Battenkill Books in Cambridge. You can find out more about the event, which takes place at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, by going to battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. And it'll be very informal, very nice. The four of us will talk about what you're doing as far as the fellowship, as well as your work, and gives a chance for the community. Because, you know, Maurice was up here for a long time. I don't think half the people who lived even knew that he was there. And now you're up here and creating beautiful work, and it's kind of neat to see the process and to hear the story. So a great event for opportunity for people to find out what's going on. Elisha Cooper, Jenny Desmond, Juju Morales, I thank you very much for being with us. I look forward to talking to you on Thursday night. Enjoy the rest of your fellowship.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more about the event by going to battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com, and Battenkill Books right on Cambridge, right on Main Street in Cambridge. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.